Blog Talk Radio.
Sabbath, everyone. We greet you in the massive name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and our Savior and our God. We want to say welcome to another edition of Yah's Global Kingdom Ministries, and happy Sabbath to all my brothers and sisters out there, no matter where you may be, in Blog Talk Land, Yah Talk Land, or on the internet. Shalom, my sister. Today we got Brother Isaiah bringing the precept correction between a scorner and the wise. Before we get into that, we're going to read our statement of faith. And if you would repeat it after me so that we can start to get this into our spirit and to live this thing. So our statement of faith: I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim. And you can repeat that after me. Mics are open. the participatory event.
Okay,
so I believe
say that.
Amen, bro.
I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God.
I believe
that
all scripture is given by the inspiration of God.
And it's profitable for doctrine.
And it's profitable for doctrine.
For reproof.
For
correction.
For correction.
And for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy 3:16.
And according to righteousness, according to 2 Timothy 3:15.
Amen. I believe I believe all holy men must be inspired.
Amen.
Mary, he's still reading.
Yeah, we're still going.
Amen.
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 So we're still going. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by God.
I believe all holy men are inspired and directed by God, the Spirit of Yah.
If you got it in front of you, I'll just read it as I have. You can just repeat it as that. According to 2 Peter 1:20-21.
According to 2 Peter 1:21.
I believe there is one God according to Deuteronomy 6:4.
I believe there is one God according to Deuteronomy 6:4.
I believe that Yeshua, I'm going to use Jesus here. I believe that Jesus is the manifestation of the Son of God according to Luke 1:35.
I believe that Jesus is the manifestation of God, 1:35. Yeah.
I believe I am a new covenant child of God, according to Hebrews 8:10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter 2:9. I believe I am chosen and directed by God, according to Ephesians 1:4. I believe I am a child of God and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians 3:26-29.
I believe that I am a
child
of God.
And of the seed of Abraham.
And of the seed of Abraham.
The seed of Abraham.
According to
Galatians 3:26-29.
I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me.
According to Philippians 4:13. The conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah, or to fear God and keep His commandments.
According to
Ecclesiastes 12:13.
Amen.
This will be the order. We will repeat the statement of faith before every lesson. We've sent it out. Amen. I will start using Yah in it, so people get used to that. But Amen. We want to affirm to this. So we need, you know, we
praise
Yah
in the highest.
Amen. Amen and amen. All right. With that being said, I am going to turn it over to Brother Isaiah and to Brother Nakomi. And the order of the service is on you. It's left.
All right. Amen. Amen. Test it. 1, 2, 3. Test it. 1, 2, 3. Can I be heard?
You're good to go.
Amen. 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 Well, for first thing first, that was my first time hearing the beginning song for the for Yah's Global Kingdom, and that put me directly into the right spirit. You know, it's all nice and sunny outside, and then you hear the, you know, then you hear the word of God through the songs and stuff like that. You know, and it was a very beautiful tune. So I truly appreciate the song that was that is dedicated to Yah's Global Kingdom, to the Bible Blog Talk Show. And definitely,
Amen.
And definitely putting us in the right kingdom state of mind when it comes to the scriptures and what our purpose is according to what's written in the pages of the book. That is also very needful and very understanding, and I thank God for that, to put everybody in the right mind and to force our flesh off of us and to stay tuned on what's written in the Bible. So all praises on
Amen.
It. All praises. All praises.
Hallelujah.
Just very hallelujah. I love it. Thank you for putting the extra work and process into getting that done, Brother Miles. I think it's a very well job, but I do think that next time we do the reading, I think we should do it little by little, because my memory ain't that good. I was like, no, such and such, but
all
love
brother,
it.
I'll do it in teletype form for you.
Okay, cool.
And I'll you,
okay,
I'll
cool.
I'll send it to you, Brother Isaiah. I'll send you a copy.
Well, you know what? I just wasn't ready. I didn't know he was going to do all that, but I'm very pleased, and it was beautiful. I really do appreciate it. But, yeah, all praises. Amen.
Y'all
so now it's time for us to get it. Y'all be the glory. Y'all praise to the Father in Jesus' name. All praises. Grace and peace, brothers and sisters. Grace and peace. Thank you for tuning in to Yah's Global Kingdom, and thank you for tuning in to my study to the Bible of to the spirit of meekness and charity. My name is Brother Isaiah. I'm teaching a lesson today, and the reader is Brother Nakomi, a.k.a. Little Israel. Thank you for tuning in, brothers and sisters. Let's get happy. Let's throw all our issues to the side. Whatever adversities, we're not interested in that right now. Our only interest is what's written in the pages of the book and how to please the Father. And remember, whatever issue that the Most High God has put on us, he do not put so much on us to the point that we give up. He give us just what we need to get through it. So this is the Sabbath day. We're going to glorify God, and we're going to worship the Most High God on his Sabbath day. It's a blessing to be a part of the Sabbath day. And thank you for tuning in to the Bible Blog Talk Show, to the Spirit of Meekness and Charity, and also to the main host, Yah's Global Kingdom. So grace and peace, family, grace and peace. We're going to go ahead and get into the precept, because we did it a very beautiful and great introduction. So we don't need to, well, I'm going to say the God's Prayer. You know what? No, we're going to do it that way, because that's what we used to. So it's all praises on that. So grace and peace, brothers and sisters. So what we're going to do is stand up and face east towards Jerusalem, and then Brother Nakomi can read whatever the Father put on his heart so we can get into this precept so we can get the Father's understanding. All praises.
All praise.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom, Nakomi. Shalom.
Okay.
Shalom, big bro.
So you just want me to bring the reading?
We're just going to keep it the way it was. We're going to keep it the way
okay,
it was.
Okay,
so I'm going to start us out.
Okay, go
ahead. Yeah, I'm going to start us out in the Lord's Prayer, then Brother Nakomi can read what the Father put on his heart. Amen. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 But he that giveth his mind to the law of the Most High, and is occupied in the meditation thereof, will seek out the wisdom of all the ancients, and be occupied in prophecies. He will keep the sayings of the renowned men, and where some of the parables are, he will be there also. He will seek out the secrets of great sentences and be conversant in dark parables. He will serve among great men and appear before princes. He will travel through strange countries, for he hath tried the good and the evil among men. He will give his heart to resort early to the Lord that made him, and will pray before the Most High, and will open his mouth in prayer and make supplication for his sins. When the great Lord will, he shall be filled with the spirit of understanding. He shall pour out wise sentences and give thanks unto the Lord in his prayer. He shall direct his counsel in knowledge, and in his secrets shall he meditate. He shall show forth that which he hath learned, and shall glory in the law of the covenant of the Lord. Then he shall commend his understanding, and so long as the world endureth, it shall not be blotted out. His memorial shall not depart away, and his name shall live from generation to generation. Nations shall show forth his wisdom, and the congregation shall declare his praise. If he die, he shall leave a greater name than 1,000, and if he live, he shall increase it. I have read Ecclesiasticus chapter 39, verses 1 through 11. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, bro, amen. Thank you for pulling out that powerful script for me, and, well, for us, and definitely thank you for being able to be the armor bearer for the reading for this Sabbath. Thank you, Brother Comey. Hope all is well with you, and peace be unto you, and definitely peace to everybody that's on the podcast show and who is trying to seek and serve the Most High God with a diligent heart. Grace and peace, family. It's time for us to get into this precept. And the name of the precept, in case we have any new listeners tuning in right now, is called Correction Between a Scorner and the Wise. So what we have to do is, as being servants of God, we need to understand the protocol and the things we need to do when it comes to correction. Because according to the scriptures, the Bible said if you correct the wise man, he go love you. He go respect you. He's going to humble himself. But at the same point in time is that if you give this correction to a scornful person, you're wasting your time. And the reason why you're wasting your time is because they're not going to do it for your benefit. He's not going to even do it for his own benefit. His benefit is going to be to get you upset even more, or to make a mockery, or to say all type of manner of wicked things against you just to get you off your square, your game, your way of serving the true and Most High God. And you see, when you go into the Bible, when you read and check out what King Solomon is saying, this is why King Solomon is telling you, don't go in the way of a scornful man. Don't try to correct a scornful man, because all he's going to do is add more wood to the fire. But rather, give correction to a wise man. And no matter how bad it gets, if you talk to that man like you got some common sense, or a woman, they'll humble themselves and receive it. Because the wise will always want to be wise. The wise don't have the latitude or try to gain up a chance opportunity for pride. We not on that. It's because if you taking out your time, out your busy life to show me something, and you could have kept it from me, and you're correcting me, man, I love you with a perfect love. I love you with a perfect love because you're helping me from keeping myself out the fire. And you didn't even have to. You didn't have to tell me what was wrong with me. But for the simple fact is that you being a loving and a kind and a good brother, and you show me myself and show me who I am as a person, then I would gladly appreciate that. And this is how we all are supposed to be. If you love your brother, your sister, and you see them falling off, it is not making you better than them. It is not making you more righteous than them. You just got a chance, opportunity to see their shortcoming. And it's not like you've been on their business. This is why the book is telling us, talk to people like you got some sense. Kindly talk to people. Hey, man, you know, I seen you doing it over there, bro, but I'm not here to try to judge you or nothing like that, man. You know, I need to get together. And that act you did, bro, you got to get together too. You know, I love you. I'm not trying to say anything to offend you or hurt you, because Lord knows I got my own dirt. But the Lord allowed me to see that fall. And I love you. And let's go ahead and get into the book so we can learn how to do this thing right together. How could you help but love that person that come to you like that?
But what we're going to do is find out a whole bunch of scornful situations, because you got to understand something. You got to scornful with the people who supposed to know the truth, because the book of Jude always tells us that you have certain men who crept in unawares. And then when you go into the book of Ezra, it always say that it was a portion given to the worthy and unworthy. So you got to understand, too, that the scornful can also come through people who know the truth. It's not all about the ones who don't know. It got a lot to do with the ones who do know. So just because we have great knowledge and understanding isn't enough, because the unworthy and the unworthy and those who crept in unawares have the exact same portion as the righteous. And sometimes the unworthy might know just more, he might have more knowledge than the person who is worthy. But in order to prove who is righteous, the ones that you can prove that is actually trying to serve the true and living God to the best ability, you always got to go back and look at their fruit on their tree, which is considered the fruit of the Spirit: meekness, temperance, long-suffering, joy, gentleness, humble, long-suffering, meek. That is the only way to identify yourself from phony people or people who is playing in the book. Now, I'm not trying to point the finger at nobody, but we need to understand who's around so you're not wasting your time. Life is too short to be wasting time. So this precept is to teach us how to use correction, not in an arrogant or I think I'm betting you type of way, but simply because the scriptures tell us to. The Lord might allow you to see a fall in somebody, and the Lord might use you to clear it up. Don't God use men? Don't God work through men? Isn't we servants of God? So you look at the word servant, that's a person who's doing the will of God. He might just use you to help that next person. The Lord might have been beating your head into your thoughts all day and night. You still can't get it right. So he'll use one of your good brothers. So when he use one of the good brothers, you might be able to see it. So this is not a precept to point the finger and make ourselves better than anybody or justify ourselves more than anybody. Get that out your head. We not on that. We all falling short and we all need God's grace and mercy. So what all we're going to do is go through these scriptures and to figure out how we should use correction if the Lord put that in our hands. So let's go ahead and get into this book. Let's go into the book of Proverbs chapter 9. The book of Proverbs chapter 9. And what we're going to do, Brother McComey, is read verse 8. The book of Proverbs chapter 9. And all we want is verse 8, just that one verse. So we can get an understanding of this correction. And after Brother McComey finished reading about this correction, what we're going to do is look some words up. So we're in the book of Proverbs chapter 9. The book of Proverbs chapter 9. And what we're going to do is pick it up in verse 8. That one verse, Proverbs 9 and 8. Will you get it, bro? What the book say?
Proverbs 9 and 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee.
Oh, amen. Amen, amen. It said what? Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. So you're looking at this, reprove not a scorner. You know, because King Solomon is telling you, if you try to correct a scorner, he's not going to turn around and look at this, look at your love and kindness and temperance and long suffering. He's not going to look at it that way. He's going to look at you. He's going to look at you as if you're better than him. Who you think you is? You act like you ain't got no sin. But I'm not trying to come to you like that, brother. I'm just trying to say this. But no, I remember you did this. You did that. So now you and my friends, I'm doing this. We might be dealing with a scorner. But King Solomon is trying to tell us, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. So if you try to reprove, if you try to correct a scorner, he going to turn around and hate you. But a wise man, he will love thee. So let's look some of this stuff up. So it say reprove not a scorner. So what we have to do is look the word up, reprove. And the word reprove implies an often kindly intent to correct a fault. The second definition I have is a scorner. Well, we're not on scorner yet. We still don't reprove. It means to kindly intend to correct a fault. You know, you're not all yelling at them. You're not screaming at them. You're not trying to argue with them. You're not shaking your head at them. But you're just coming to this person and kindly trying to show them their fault. There is nothing wrong with that, because we're trying to gain as many people as we can for the kingdom. You cannot gather people to the kingdom if you all up in their face screaming and yelling at them like you lost your mind. But we should simply be kind. When you're dealing with these situations, be kind. Definitely if you found out some things about them that they don't want to know, we have to correct them kindly. No matter how bad things get, we got to be kind. You might get cussed out. Hey, that's cool. But we still have to keep ourselves right. Because even if it don't go right, by you being kind, the Lord can use that as for them as a gift. Man, I shouldn't have cussed that dude out, man. He was just trying to show me my mistake. I'm yelling, screaming, cussing at him out, doing all this because they found out what I was doing. And then turn around, they was being kind and loving the whole way around. So at all times, brothers and sisters, when you see a fault and you want to correct it, you got to come with some common sense, for one. And for two, you cannot be angry and bitter when you're trying to take care of this cause. So it means to kindly intent to correct a fault. And it also said, reprove not a scorner. So now we got to find out what this scorner is so we're not wasting our time. The word scorner means a scorner is one who mocks the things of God and expresses his negative opinion of wisdom with derision in order to involve others. So they mock the word of God with derision. So the word derision means mockery, making rude and mocking remarks, typically in a loud voice, a taunt. And a taunt is a remark made in order to anger, wound, or provoke someone. And the second definition of derision is used to indicate an object of scornful laughter, that is, laughing stock. So now we have something very interesting. We understand that a scorner is a person who mocks God, but you got to understand, too, that people can mock God ignorantly who know the truth off of something they think they know. So this is even talking about us. So when you out there trying to correct people, you also got to keep your guard up too with the people who think they do know God, because the Bible already said in the book of Jude that they speak evil things they know not. But the ones that speak evil things they know not, they know the law. So we have the people out here in the streets who don't know God, but you got to understand that you also got to understand this conversation with the people who do know God. And understand this character of being scornful. And don't waste your time. If you don't believe in the New Testament, then go on about your business. I'm not going to waste my time because I see you don't know how to control yourself. Or vice versa, you just one of those of the Old Testaments. I still love you, and if I don't see no type of meekness behavior with you, then I'm not going to sit here and talk to you on that matter. Because all you're going to do is mock it. This conversation could be meant for anything. So we got to understand this conversation. Because we looked at the second definition of derision, it said used to indicate an object of scornful laughter, that is a laughing stock. So you got to understand, if you call yourself trying to correct a scornful person, 9 times out of 10, they're going to make fun of you. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to do all type of matter of things to you just to get you angry and upset. But remember, you're angry and upset. They're going to go on very happy way. You're going to be thinking about putting your hands on them, and they're going to be sitting back playing cards. Who you think won the conversation? They did, because they are being exactly who they are. They are being scornful. They are being argumentative. They're being debative. They're going to point the finger. They're going to do what they want to do. And here we go. We want to sit our happy self over there and then try to correct them. And then get everybody. Then you got your eyes is red and sweating and veins all popped out. And they just sit here looking at you laughing. But we're supposed to be your servants of God. If don't nobody get this fruit of spirit right, we're supposed to get it right. So you don't want nobody to tamper with your salvation. So this is why it's good to stay away from scornful people. Don't put yourself in a situation to get your fruits tested, because they will test every last one of them. And if we don't do this thing right, we're going to get in trouble way more than them, because we know. That's why we always got to be kind. We got to always be long-suffering. We got to be gentle. We got to be meek. We got to make sure we keep these fruits of spirit at all times. Because a scornful person ain't going to do, they going to do them, rather than the truth or not. So we got to be mindful of this thing, brothers and sisters. Because I'm going to read it one more time for the second part of derision. It said, used to indicate an object of scornful laughter that is a laughing stock. So let us go into the book of Lamentations chapter 3, and let's read verse 14 so we can get an understanding of being considered a laughing stock. The book of Lamentations chapter 3, and all we want, Brother Nakomi, is verse, just that one verse.
Lamentations chapter 3 and what verse?
14.
Lamentations chapter 3:14. I was a derision to all my people in their song all the day.
Now, did you just check that out? It said, Jeremiah is telling us, I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. What do you think Jeremiah mean about their song all the day? They already laughing at you. They mocking you. They pointing their finger at you. You can angry and upset. Everybody looking at you like you lost your mind. Shoot, it seemed like they made a song for him every time they see him. They must have had some really, really bogus song against this prophet. I was a derision, so they mocking him. They laughing at him, taunting him. And their song all the day. So everywhere he went, they in his face. He can't even sit down and get something to drink, get some water or something, or get something to eat without everybody in his face making fun of him. But even though the Most High told him to do that, that's not why we're going here and reading this passage. We're reading the passage so we can understand this spirit of scornful and this derision. So we get an understanding on what it looks like. So even though he had to do that, we're looking at the situation and understanding if we deal with scornful people like this, then this is what's going to happen to us. But King Solomon is telling us, man, hey, don't go that way. Because if you do, man, they go hate you, man. And then we got the rest of the definition to understand the word derision. But this derision is to make you upset. To make you angry and bitter and frustrated. This is what it's all here for. And it can also get to the point that if you try to correct them, they might want to put their hands on you. And you know we're pushing up on them days. The book said, love many go wax cold. So it might be an easy business for them to do something to you. simply just because you're trying to be a brother or a sister. So this is why we got to be mindful of these things. So let us go into the book of, Proverbs chapter 15, the book of Proverbs chapter 15. The book of Proverbs chapter 15, and all we want is verse 32.
Proverbs 15 and 32. He that refuses instruction despises his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding.
So now we're dealing with the same thing that we read in the Proverbs 9 and 8. So basically let us know that he that refuses instruction despiseth his own soul. So why are you going to try to give instructions? Well, why would you try to correct a person who hates his own soul? What good are you going to get out of this conversation? This person can do, he don't care about the things we care about, and he proves and shows that we don't, or she proves that she don't. But the book is telling us that this person hates their own soul. But at the same point of time is, it says in verse, in that same verse, 32, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Right? So if you hear this correction, then you go get that understanding. You'll be able to fight a better day the next time. So the next time that happened, I've been corrected. I can't go that way this time. I thank God for that, brother, because we was talking about that, and he showed me some good stuff. So the next time this thing appear, the next time this thing happen, I know what to do at the right time. But in order to know what to do the right time, you have to love correction. And when people come to us on our own foolishness, we cannot be upset. This does not give us the chance, opportunity to pull out their shortcomings, because at this appointed time, the Lord revealed your shortcoming, or her shortcoming, or my shortcoming, or Nakomi's or Miles' shortcoming. We just need to understand, when we're dealing with correction, you got to be very humble, very wise, very kind when speaking on other people's shortcomings, because it can go left so fast. You better believe the devil be waiting for you to say the wrong thing so he can put a thought into the person who's being accused on their issues or faults. It's because when we went into Jeremiah, it said that Jeremiah was a laughing stock to the people who was around him. Anywhere he went, they mocked him and made fun of him, right? But we got to understand that this is a conversation to the people out there in the world and also the people in the truth. So let's go in the book of Jude chapter 10. No, I'm sorry, y'all. It's only one chapter. Jude verse 10, the book of Jude verse 10. And when you get it, big bro, what the book say?
Jude chapter 1, verse 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves.
Oh, wait a minute. Now I said, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. Now, you have to understand something about this conversation that Jude is having in verse 10. Normally, when people speak evil on things they know not, it come with derision. It come with mockery. It come with anger. It come with debate. It come with spying with the fist. It come with no long suffering. It comes off of vain and hubris knowledge, and that person is using their own allegories. When you're talking about speaking evil, because it's always a mockery in that too. Now, here we go, trying to come through on their part of the land, trying to correct them kindly. it might be a good brother who just don't know no better. So for mercy's sake, we're going to say through ignorance. They might be ignorant, or some might not be ignorant. So the ones who aren't ignorant but just doing it their own way, you come to them with this conversation on trying to correct them. It might not end well. But if it's a person that don't know no better, and he's doing it through ignorance because he heard somebody else say it, then you could pull him to the side and talk to that person like he's a brother, you know, and be kind to him and show that spirit of meekness and charity, long-suffering and gentleness. Because the book is to be telling us, man, that these people who crept in unawares, who know the truth, they speak evil on things they know not. So just because a person has great knowledge is still not enough, because they can still be scornful. So this is why we need to understand this conversation on the do's and don'ts. So let's go into the book of Proverbs chapter 29. The book of Proverbs chapter 29. The book of Proverbs chapter 29, and all you want, brethren, to call me is verse 11.
Proverbs 29 and 11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it afterwards.
Oh, well, that's very interesting. So we just found out in the book of Proverbs 29 and 11, it said that a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. So just imagine if you tried to correct a fool. What does a fool go do? He go uttereth all his mind. At that very second when he has been offended off of your loving kindness, he's going to tell you, or she is going to tell you, exactly how they feel about you. All the words. You might be every last cussing word in the book. Worthless, low life, you think you better than me, such and such, such and such, you stupid, you know what, and the other. They will, whatever anger is in their heart, they're going to empty the whole case on you. So we have to be mindful of this thing. We really got to be mindful of this. Now let us go into the book of Jeremiah chapter 20. The book of Jeremiah chapter 20. Book of Jeremiah chapter 20, and all we want is verse 8.
Jeremiah 20 and 8. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me in a derision daily.
Remember that derision is used to indicate an object of scornful laughter. That is a laughing stock. And scorner also means, scorner is one who mocks the things of God and expresses his negative opinion of wisdom with derision in order to involve others. So you can just only imagine trying to correct somebody that behaves like this. It's almost safe to say that you're doing it in vain.
if someone has proven and shown to you that they're scornful, why waste your time? Why try to correct if you already see that spirit on them? Why? Why would you waste your time, which is short, and we're nothing but grass that will wither away pretty eventually? Why waste your time? This is why we need to consider who is scornful, and we also need to consider who is wise. So now we got some understanding on this derision. We also got understanding on reproof, and we also got understanding on this scorner. So we should have a pretty good understanding on what to do and what not to do. But the scriptures also said that a wise man will love you. So let's get into a couple of scriptures on this precept on that particular matter. So let's go right back into the book of Proverbs chapter 9. The book of Proverbs chapter 9. And we go read 8 again.
Proverbs chapter 9 and 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee.
Oh, rebuke a wise man, and he will what? He'll love thee. So if I'm talking crazy, I'm talking about things I ain't supposed to be talking about. If my tongue conversation is just to the point that it's too lustful, or if I'm too bitter, if I'm too angry, if I'm talking crazy, and my partner know I'm a good brother, what you think he's going to tell me? Hey, bro, you're going a little too far left with this conversation. Didn't the Lord say wrath resteth in the bosom of a fool? Don't get yourself all worked up like this. They get me angry, I'm gonna kill him. And then the Lord go tell you what. You ain't gonna see your family no more, and you going to jail. Let's reason together. Oh man, she look good, man. I wanna do this, that, and other. Man, you married with a wife at home, man. With kids. What are you talking about? You gonna give all that up for that? And what if she's married? You wanna doom yourself like that, brother? Man, times is hard, man. I got the keys to the stove. I can't go hungry. So you go steal and break the commandments. Don't you got a bag of rice at home, man? I just seen a bag of rice. That should get you through for a couple of days until you get paid. And if he's wise, he's going to take heed to what you're saying. Not get angry and bitter. And if you're wise enough, then you'll understand that that person did not say that to make themselves better than you. But all we're trying to do in a situation like this is be a good brother or be a good sister and help those that's in need. And also understand that according to the scriptures, the Bible said a brother is born for adversity. A brother is born for hard times for his brothers, hardship, anguish, pain, misery, long, all that type of stuff. That's what a good brother is born for. This is what he's here for. Because if he's wise, he's going to take this correction. I'm not saying we fall off sometimes. Lord knows we do. But the same point of time is that we're still alive, so we got a chance to make it to the Lord's kingdom. Let us learn how to humble ourselves and correct each other in a righteous manner. And definitely do the spirit of meekness and fear. Now let's go into the book of Proverbs chapter 15. the book of Proverbs 15, and what we're going to do is read verses 1 through 7. And I cut you off unnecessary, Brother Nakomi.
Okay. Proverbs chapter 15, starting at the 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise.
Now I said a soft answer do what? It turneth away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. So now if you're talking to a brother who got an ear to hear that he should be humbling himself and take this correction, don't come to him with grievous words. The Lord already got the battle won. Talk to him like you got some sense. But in order for him not to receive the correction, it's by grievous words. And when we use grievous words, that's when that spirit of anger come up. And this is where the debate and anger and wrath come in at, by using grievous words. You know you were supposed to be doing that. You know you're going to the fire, right? If you don't stop that, man, you got to be super stupid. Now, come on now. If you come around trying to talk to people like that, come on now. This is one story. I was talking to this one person about a while ago, you know, about the Sabbath day and stuff. And that person wanted some information on it, you know, because how the people was doing it, how she knew a couple of people that was doing the Sabbath as well. And I guess the brother ain't had no money. No, well, he ain't had no money at that time, that Friday, but he was able to get some money that Sabbath. So he went to the store to give him something to eat because he was hungry. She said that one of the brothers from the class, you know, one of the people that saw this matter, went into the store with him, snatched the stuff out of his hand, cussed him out, and told him he's going to fire if he buy. Now, for one, if you're a grown man, it's not going to end well if you grown and another grown man try to snatch something out your hand and tell you you can't buy something. That's not going to go right. It's not. And talking to people like you crazy ain't the answer. Talking crazy is not going to solve anything. So this is why the book is telling us a soft answer turn away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Go ahead and read in the comment.
Verse 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. It said in verse 2, it said the tongue of the wise use of knowledge. All right. So the word all right means correctly. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge correctly, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. So if we righteous and we're trying to be right in the eyesight of the Most High, when we use knowledge, when we're trying to use correction, and when we're talking to people, no matter how bad it get on their side, we got to still make sure our side is straight. Definitely when you're dealing with the word of God, we got to use our strength. It said in verse 5, a fool despises his father's instructions, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Don't we want to keep much treasure in our house? Don't we want to keep peace and long-suffering and gentleness? A good state of mind, not in misery, then we got to make sure we do this thing right. Now let's go into the book of Proverbs chapter 12. The book of Proverbs chapter 12. And all we want is verse 1.
Proverbs chapter 12 and 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish.
So it said, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. So if you hate kind words and correction, you can put the saying that, you know, you're brutish. But if you love correction, then hey, praise God, God bless you. Because if you love instructions, if you love God's instructions, then it won't be too easy to offend you. Because we'll be in this book and understanding that we truly and surely need correction. Definitely if you love it. So when somebody stop and pull you to the side, the first thing that's come to your mind is that I'm about to get corrected, and if they come right, I'll receive it, and I'll do better next time. But if you don't like correction, the first thing we're going to do is what? Oh, you think you're better than me. You trying to point out my shortcomings, how many you got? And not even knowing that person wasn't trying to do that. But simply just be a loving and kind brother in trying to show the love that the Most High God has taught us to do to others. But it says, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Now let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 5. The book of Matthew chapter 5. The book of Matthew chapter 5, and what we're going to do, brothers and sisters, is we're going to pick this up at verse 22. In Matthew 5, verses 22, and we're going to read verses 22 through 26.
Matthew chapter 5, starting at 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thy adversary quickly, while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost partly.
Now, we just got some very interesting things here on the do's and don'ts on a couple of situations. Now, let's pick this back up at verse 22. It says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, right? So if you call yourself angry with your brother, you better have a very valid reason behind it. Because if you sit up here second guessing, you don't really know what happened, and you have this hate and cause towards this person, it's a chance and opportunity you might be angry and bitter to the point that you might find yourself in judgment. No, we're going to find ourselves in judgment. So before you get angry or bitter, upset, it better be for a very good reason. a very good reason. And it also says here, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. You know what Raka means? It means worthless. Don't be calling nobody worthless. Because then you're in danger too. Don't call nobody worthless. I don't care how low down, how low they've been. Don't call them worthless. Because don't none of us know if God is using a person for a righteous tool or not. Didn't Paul make straight havoc of the church? Did he throw people into prisons, put hands and lay hands on people? And come to figure out that he was one of the main ones using the name of Jesus and doing this thing right. So we don't know that. We don't know who God is using. So when it comes to that point that they offended you, don't use the word worthless. Because that person might outshine you one day. So let's be mindful on the words we use. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. So we shouldn't be calling nobody a fool. It's good to identify a fool in your heart to know what you're dealing with, but do not speak it to existence. Because once you speak into existence, it's already out. So we are not certified to use these words against people. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Right? So before you up and try to pray and do anything with God, you know, asking for forgiveness or asking to have mercy or asking to keep his shield and protection around you, around your wife, your families, your kids. You know, when you leave the house, when you go to bed at night, before you even get your knees to say anything and you have aught against your brother, or your sister, before you even get on your knees, give them a phone call and try to fix the matter before getting on your knees and making any type of prayer to God. You take care of that first. Then we can come pray. If they don't want to hear you, then oh well, you did your part. It can be accepted. So we need to get this pride out of our hearts when it comes to offending. And it also tells us, too, to agree with thy adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. So this is basically telling you how to use common sense. If you know that person is your enemy, it might be your boss. You know, it might be anybody in some type of high power. Use your words rightly. The first thing we want to do is when we find out so much wisdom, not just understanding, we want to use it at the wrong time with certain situations like this. So basically what the book is telling us is to be smart in whatever situation you find yourself in. Be smart. So now let us go into the book of Galatians chapter 6. The book of Galatians chapter 6. The book of Galatians chapter 6, and all we want is verses 1 through 10.
Galatians chapter 6, starting at the 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man...
Oh, now one second. Now, if you take out what Brother McCormick just read, it said, if a man is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. How you think you could be tempted? Because if you're dealing with a scornful man, you're dealing with a person who loves to mock and make mockeries of things and use all type of manner of wicked things, all you're going to do is just irritate yourself. So he talking crazy to you. You might start talking crazy to him. Now you tempted by his words to do something to him. Well, I love to knock him out. He told him to knock me out. I knock him out before he do me. So now it's in vain now. The whole conversation is in vain. And it also says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Because the book already said that a brother is born for adversity. His hardship and trouble and headaches and hardship. But then what really caught me is here, right, is this right here, because this is when it gets back very interesting. Because remember, we're talking about restoring a brother in the spirit of meekness in verse 1. But if you go into verse 3, it says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So let's look at that again. For if a man think himself to be something, but remember, you is nothing. He deceiveth himself. So when you're doing your correction, when you're trying to restore a brother back in his meekness and charity, the book is telling you if he don't receive it the right way, he's going to do what? He's going to make himself, he go think himself special. You're telling me this, I've been doing this long, I've been doing that long, I talked this, I talked that, I did this, I showed you how to do this, I showed you how to do that. What you talking about? I got this thing right, I've been doing all this type of stuff. But verse 3 just said, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So this goes right back to what? Correction. When you try to correct somebody that's like this, with that scornful spirit or that prideful spirit or arrogant spirit, they're going to think they're somebody special. They're going to think because of the multitude of things they did for the spirit, they're going to think that you have no right to tell them about their shortcomings. And we shouldn't be like that. Because Moses was the meekest man amongst all the earth. And he didn't make the promised land. So this is telling us, no matter how much wisdom, knowledge, and understanding you think you have, you still ain't nothing. I ain't nothing. And the best way to put it, I ain't nothing, and the Father is everything. And keep it moving. Because as soon as you start thinking different, that's when that pride and arrogancy, that's when that vain and hubris knowledge start to take place. That excessive pride and arrogancy, that start to take place once you forget that you are nothing and the Father is everything. So let's be mindful of these things. Verse 4.
Verse 4. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
Whoa! Oh, one second. First Timothy said what? As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So you're supposed to do good to all men. But if that person know the wisdom, if that person know the same God that you know, according to the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, according to the scriptures that's written in the pages of this book, you're supposed to give that man even a double portion of doing good to him. You're supposed to be way up the food chain of doing it to a person who know the true and living God. It's a great thing to do to those who don't, but we're supposed to have a greater double portion to those who do know. Not being bitter and angry, mad and upset. But simply dealing with the brothers like you got some sense. We are not supposed to be behaving like this towards one another. If you're a part of the faith and you know this truth, it's supposed to be a double portion of love. Definitely to the ones who know the truth. We're supposed to be talking to each other like we got some sense. Now let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 13. And we got a couple more after this. We're in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. Well, no. Hebrews chapter 13, excuse me. Hebrews 13. We're in the book of Hebrews 13, and we're going to do a little, we're going to do some skipping on the coming. We're going to start at verse 2. We're going to the book of Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to read verse 2. And after verse 2, we're going to skip down to verse 16. Just two verses. Hebrews 13 and 2, when you get it, bro, what the book say? Well, let's start at verse 1. 1 through 2, because we'll skip. 1 through 2, and we'll skip.
Hebrews 13, starting at the 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares.
So that means being a brother, we're supposed to be on guard at all times. We don't know if the Lord going to check us out he going to check out our fruit of the Spirit by using an angel or something. It said, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. But we look at verse 1, it's telling us what? The most important thing. Let brotherly love continue. If you call yourself a servant of God, let's act like we got some sense towards one another. And not to let anger and wrath override our judgment. We got to be aware of who we're entertaining. And what we say and what we do at all times, if you call yourself a servant of God. Now let's skip down to verse 16.
But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased.
Hey, it tells us, but to do good, and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now you look at sacrifices, right? You're giving up something. So you might not be in the mood to want to communicate with people or to show this type of love or brotherly love. Or do good, but you sacrifice. You know what I'm saying? But you sacrifice whatever you had in your head, and you just go off and do what you're supposed to do. You communicating. You showing these good fruits of the Spirit. You showing fervent charity. You showing love. You giving your double portion of the loving for the brethren. You giving your love and support to those who don't even know the true and most high God. You know, whatever you think you got going on is on pause, but you're going to make sure you do what the true and living God say. But to do good and to communicate, forget that not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Amen. Let's move along. Now let us go into the book of Mark chapter 12. The book of Mark chapter 12. Book of Mark, chapter 12. And what we're going to do is pick it up at verse 29. The book of Mark, chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 29 through 31.
Mark, chapter 12, starting at the 29. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these."
Ain't none greater than these. So the first commandment is to hear. Then the first commandment is to love God with all your heart and soul. And the second greatest of all of those is to love thy neighbor as thyself. You love your brother as yourself. Come, don't, you know, if somebody try to correct you and show you love, man, take the correction and understand that it's not to pinpoint or to think that you're better than them. But simply, you've seen a fault and the Lord could be using you to correct it. That's all this thing is all about. You want to get a shot at the kingdom? We just read the shot at the kingdom. Love God with all your heart and soul, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. You can hang the rest of it up. You better have these lingering around you at that appointed time. We better have love. And let's go to the book of Colossians chapter 3 and 14. And we have one more after this. The book of Colossians chapter 3 and 14. One verse.
Colossians 3:14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
Now, what that just say? It's saying above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So, believe it or not, brothers and sisters, we just found out how we can be perfect in the eyesight of God. Because even though the Bible said that, you know, there's none righteous, no, not one. And, you know, our righteousness is nothing filthy, is but nothing but filthy rags. But there are certain type of acts that we can do in the eyesight of God where he can call us perfect. He can call us blameless, too. Didn't God call Job a perfect and upright man in the book of Job chapter 1? You got to sit back and consider, why did God call Job a perfect and upright man? The first thing we want to do is to say, because of his patience. No, God called Job a perfect and upright man before he had any trial or tribulation. And when Job was going through his adversity, his hardship and troubles,
Job did a self-check. And his self-check was making the widow heart sing for joy. You know, he was eyes to the blind. He sheltered and hungered people. I mean, helped those that was in hunger. He defended the fatherless, the widow, the poor, those that was in need. He became a servant to these people. That's why God called him a perfect and upright man. So we need to understand some, brothers and sisters, in order to get an understanding of being this bond of perfectness. It's by charity. It's by love. It's by long-suffering. It's about gentleness. It's about meekness. It's about temperance. Those things is what's going to get us into the kingdom. Loving one another is going to get us into the kingdom. Not being hateful or spiteful, you know, and being arrogant and evil towards people. Even when you think you're in the right to do it, don't do it. Because at the end of the day, God is the judge. We don't know why certain things happen. And I'm going to tell you why we should be calm, cool, and collect. If you go back and think in the Bible, well, not think, but when you go back into the Bible, when the Israelites upset God, what did God make King Solomon do? God made King Solomon number the children of Israel just to get his hands on the people who've been making him upset. So we don't know why certain situations happen. And we don't know if God is in control of it. David had no choice but to number the children of Israel because God made him do it. Not because David did something, but because he wanted to put his hands on somebody. So by understanding that itself shall humble a lot of us on the things we do. And to also learn and understand, love your brethren. If you get a chance, opportunity to see a correction, do it. But be kind, be gentle, be meek with it, be humble when you come in to correct somebody. Now let us go into the last spot of this precept. Let's go into the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, and what we're going to do is pick it up at verse 8. And this will be last, this one verse. The book of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, and this will be last.
First Peter chapter 4 and 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins.
Oh, so it said above all things have fervent charity. So what's this fervent charity? It's just, that's like animated love. Like that little quiet, hey, how you doing? It's, hey, what's going on, brother? What's going on, sister? What you need? What it do? Come here, man. You need some help with something? What can I help you with, man? Hey, man, you know, it's not that fake love. You know, it's really showing. Animated love, fervent charity. We're supposed to have that amongst one another. And understanding that this fervent charity shall cover a multitude of sins. So don't be too offended when it comes to your brothers and to the brothers and sisters. Because charity has to show to get a spot for the kingdom. Don't ever get yourself to the point that you can't forgive. Don't ever get to the point that you just got to mention what's going on because you and your feelings. These don't let that override your judgment. Because if it overrides your judgment, here come the pride, here come the arrogancy, here come the vain and hubris knowledge, here come your own allegories. All of these things to take part into play when you forget about charity. So this is why a servant of God has to be meek at all times. And this is why a servant of God have to understand the right thing to do when it comes to correction. Who to correct, who not to correct. Understand the spirits. And understand the do's and don'ts when dealing with these spirits.
So the name of this precept, brothers and sisters, is called Correction Between a Scorner and the Wise. Through the grace of God, I hope you got some understanding, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your Sabbath. In Jesus' name, I thank you for your time, and I turn things over to the host. Thank you.
Hey. Thank you.
Thank you, Isaiah Brown.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise you, God, for his gift.
Amen. The Father is merciful. All praise go to the Father that's been in the third heaven. And let's hope to God that he show us a little more grace and mercy to get to another day.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, and thank you for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to mute everyone's line, and then whoever would like to speak, just press the number one, but we have too much consent. So let me just mute everybody's line, and then
before you mute everybody out, great reading, Brother McCormick. Amazing reading.
Amen. All right. If you... First of all, great precept, my brother. That was fire. That is, we as the people of the Most High, it is a must that we come with the spirit of meekness and that we are able to receive reproof. None of us is perfect. And in some form or another, in one way or another, we can all receive correction in some area of our life. Is when we become so vain in our understanding and in our stance against things that we become unmovable, that we know it all, and we can't be corrected. That word brutish that was in that scripture means to become animalistic. In other words, you count on your base state. You become very carnal, fleshly, and you react out of the flesh. Rather than out of reason, with good intellect and the spirit of the Most High. So great precept, great precept. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Amen. All praises to the Most High, God of Israel. All praises.
Anyone else have any comments? Just press the number one and we will open your mic. We will open, we'll give you the mic. Okay.
Shalom.
Hey, shalom, Brother Nakomi. One more time. Excellent reading, bro.
Thank you. Great lesson, bro. Great lesson. We should deal with people in that manner. We should always deal with people, even in correcting them. We should do it, with a good heart. You said we should do it with a good heart. We shouldn't be trying to stump them out because, we all have faults. But like I'm saying, but it tells us in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And principles like this make me not want to really go against people and have mercy on people. It's because I'm just going to do the principle. The principle says if I have mercy on other people, I'm going to obtain mercy. So mercy, we all, at the end of the day, we're all going to need mercy. And just like saying, charity cover a multitude of sins. So, like I'm saying, dealing with people in the right way is going to cover some of my mess. So these are the reasons I try to have no grudge against no one and always come into the spirit of having mercy on people because I want to obtain mercy. With that, I yield to Mike. Great lesson.
Amen, my brother. Amen. Amen. Yep, and good word as well. Thank you, my brother.
All right, 651-746. 651-746. Your mic is open.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Hey, shalom. Shalom.
Shalom, everyone.
I have a question. You were saying that you're not supposed to tell someone or call them a fool. So when someone has acted out and you say, this fool, or he must think I'm a fool. So you're not supposed to say that?
Well, basically that the word fool, it's nothing wrong with identifying one. You see, the whole thing is that, you know, we have other words or definitions that we can use other than that. Or we can be like, you know what, this person must think I'm an amateur, you know, or, you know, you can use your own selective words. But all I'm saying is that it's certain words and certain type of things and definitions the Lord, the one that's using. It's nothing wrong with identifying one, but using it in your heart to know who you're dealing with. But not to say it out of your mouth and put that word into actions on any individual, because now you put yourself in harm's danger when it comes to God.
All right.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Great lesson, brother.
No, you're welcome, sissy. You're welcome. Thanks for tuning in.
Hey, Shalom.
612. Let's see, whose line is that? Who's speaking?
This is your heart I'm speaking.
Hey.
All right, go ahead.
What's up, bro? Oh, go ahead, Yahada.
Yeah. Go ahead, brother.
Okay, I hear me now?
Loud and clear.
Oh, I'm sorry I missed the lesson. I was sleeping for a long time. I need mercy every day. Just like Paul said, I die daily. But no, I'm not trying to use the front advantage, but I know it's wrong. But I heard it end. But appreciate the lesson anyway, even though I missed half of it. But I still tune in because it's the seventh day. So, my Lord, have mercy on my soul. Even though I haven't sold my soul or anything crazy, something like that, what most people do these days. But I need prayer out for me I want to say healing, but just for the strength to me to do better, because I am doing better. But I do fall off. Even though a good man may fall seven times, I'm searching God 100 times more. So trying my best to do what I can do, but I'm going to keep doing better. Just like Brother Nehemiah always tell me, keep doing better. So I'm going to do so.
Amen.
I passed the mic.
Amen. All praises, bro. Keep it praying for you too, bro. Live dog is better than dead lion. Hey, we can keep it moving. Let's have that hope and let's have that faith. All praises. All right, do we have anybody else on the line that would like to speak? Well, go ahead, Brother Miles. I know you got the thing up there. Go ahead.
612-407. Your mic is open. Okay, maybe that was the last brother. All right.
Shalom.
612-384.
Shalom.
612-384. Shalom.
Hey, Shalom, Brother
Keith. Hey, grace and peace to the family. And to those that's listening online, it's Brother Keith. I want to say, you know, that was a great lesson. You know what I'm saying? I loved every bit of it. Good reading from Brother McComey. You know what I'm saying? That lesson definitely does give people reason for pause and whatever they do. And they should be careful of what they do, you know. And most importantly, I say we should practice what we preach, you know. Otherwise, we're just pretty much hypocrites. So, you know, I can't see myself being a barbarian or a person full of derision or stiff-necked or anything of that sort, because it just doesn't seem that the way the Lord put it on my heart to be. I mean, I could always go backwards, but he says for us to stay forward and stay on the straight and narrow, because you can't make a crooked thing straight. So that was an excellent lesson. Much love to the fam and the new people. Welcome. And with that, I yield the mic.
Amen, bro. Thank you for tuning in, bro. And yes, you are right. All praise to the Father in Jesus' name. Thank you for tuning in, Brother Keith. It's good to hear your voice, bro. Amen. Hey, back to you, Brother
Amen.
Miles.
All right, I believe that is everyone. I'd like to, again, echo great precept. If there's anyone out there that has a testimony, now is the time to raise your hand and give Yah the glory. And if not, then once again, I want to thank my brother Isaiah for bringing the fire this morning, and Brother Nakomi for an excellent reading. We are going to, this afternoon at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, join us again at Yah's Global Kingdom Ministries, where we're going to finish up the book of Mark that we were supposed to do last week. We will finish it up tonight and hope that you will all come out and join us in this as we finish up this great book. On Wednesday, Brother Nakomi will be holding Bible study as regular. I don't know what his Bible study will be about, but I'm sure that he'll send it out in time so that everybody can get the notice and know what the precept or the topic's about. We are wanting to be decent and in order. Follow the Most High. It's all about Him. It's not about us. It's about Him. And it's about being pleasing to Him. So before we dismiss, I'm going to pray us out, and hopefully we can be back here at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry, the Book of Mark, finishing up that precept and the reading of that book. Okay, with that being said, if we can have everyone face the east, holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim, the Most High God. Father, we come before you right now. We thank you for this excellent word, Father. We hope that it has fed the people and that they have something that they can stay on that will keep them safe from all hurt and harm, that their mouths be and their words be meek and humble, that we are able to receive reproof, that we know when to be silent, and we know when to speak up, that we may identify the scorner, the person who just does not want to receive reproof, does not want to get better, but knows that or feels that they know everything and that they're right about everything. Father, if there's any be among us who are sick in their bodies, Father, touch them right now. Heal them as only you can heal them. No matter how terrible the illness, Father, we know that you are able. You have the last say. And if our faith is strong enough, Father, we know that you will heal us. Father, if there's anybody that is hurting in their mind, emotionally, who are worried about family, Father, give them peace of mind. Give them peace that only you can bring. Give them a surety that only you can bring. We are so careful to give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Until this evening, may Yah bless you and keep you. Peace and blessings.
If I don't have you, it's all about you. 'Cause is without you, there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I want to do is jump. Lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. Always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahoo.